I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast, Thursday, April 16th. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, 1 week away from my wife's birthday and the 2020 NFL Draft. Can't wait. It's going to be a really fun. I'm sure that during the day it'll be really fun, very relaxing, calm, cool. No one will get upset. Today, though, we are going to talk about two more of the most interesting teams in the draft. Part three of our three-part series, we picked six teams to take a look at. Go and listen to Tuesday's show, and we talked about the Dolphins and the Cowboys. Yesterday's show on Wednesday, we talked about the Vikings and the Colts. And today, we will look at the Patriots and 49ers. Then, after the break, Bryant McFadden will join us to break down his top defensive backs in the draft as we continue defensive prospect draft ranking week to get interesting. Ryan Wilson, Sean Wagner-McGuff, how you guys doing?
Greetings. I am doing well. And you?
Very enthusiastic. How do you miss John Breach yet?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
How old is his daughter today?
That's math, Ryan.
Unfair question. Not one.
12 years old.
Yeah.
How many days since her zeroth birthday, Britson?
Yeah, there. Maybe that'll get easier for you.
You guys are clowns.
Thank you. Let's
get to the Patriots. The first of our most interesting teams in the draft list for today. New England Patriots. Look, they lost Tom Brady. That makes him interesting alone. You have to wonder, Ryan, with 13 picks, number 23 overall, 87, 98, 100, 125, 172, 195, and a bunch in the 200s, 204, 212, 213, 230, 235, and 241. You have to wonder if they'd be interested in trading up to get a quarterback.
Yeah, I've been saying this for a while, just a hunch, not based on anyone I've been talking to. But I feel like if Jordan Love gets down to 15 or 16, the Patriots will get interested. The Saints, who pick right behind them at 24, might be interested. Neither of those teams have second-round picks. But I don't know how those teams feel about Jordan Love. But I feel like if he's there, some teams will be sniffing around. There are also reports that the Raiders like Jordan Love, so maybe he doesn't get past 12 or 19 should he slip a little further. So, yeah, if they don't take Jordan Love, they can get an edge rusher. They could get a safety. On Monday's mock draft, I had them taking Xavier McKinney out of Alabama. We know that Saban and Belichick are close, and McKinney's incredibly versatile. Patrick Chung's 32. We know that they re-signed Devin McCourty. He's also 32, so get younger and more athletic on the back end to go along with Steph Gilmore and all those members of the secondary that make that team really good. But I think at the top of the to-do list is obviously quarterback and maybe even wide receiver if they want to do that.
Sean, would you draft a quarterback or sign Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, or Jameis Winston?
I mean, it depends on how they feel about Jordan Love, but I wouldn't trade up for a quarterback because – it's funny, you look at this Patriots roster, it's not just quarterback that they have holes at. Like, I think they have a couple serious needs, which is weird to say about the Patriots, but if you were to strip away the name of their team and who their coach is, I feel like, we would be calling this team, a 7-8-win team. It's because of the Belichick factor that we trust there's a plan. So, look, I think this is their plan, if I had to guess. It's their inaction in free agency to this point and in the trade market suggests that I think they are in play for a quarterback in the first round. I don't see them as overpaying and moving up. And Ryan has made the good point, though, that they've never been in this position before where quarterback is a need, so maybe we have to throw out all Bill Belichick's prior tendencies out the window because he's never been in this situation before. But to me, they're a team that understands value. They're not going to give up way too much draft capital to move up four spots to take a quarterback who is, what, 50-50 at best to develop into a legitimate starting quarterback. But if they don't get a quarterback in the draft, we've talked about this, there are still a lot of decent options out there. Andy Dalton could be released after the draft. His trade value has certainly gone down. It's not going to cost that much. Worst case, you go out there, you get Cam Newton. If you get good version of Cam Newton, 2018, first half of the year, Cam Newton, I think they're the best team in that division. Again, with Bill Belichick, I would take them. And if you get the bad version of Cam Newton, you can address the quarterback position a year from now when you have a better pick. So I don't think they're going to reach. I think they're going to sit and see how the draft unfolds and know that, look, if we don't get a quarterback in round one, we'll just go sign one or trade for one because there are two or three out there that still need new homes.
It is remarkable to think that, like, the Patriots haven't had to worry about the quarterback position in 20 years. Like, I mean, it's like, what NFL team has, I mean, ever hasn't had to worry about the quarterback position in 20 years? I mean, maybe the Colts with Manning to Luck, and they still had
Packers.
Favre to Rodgers. Sean would point out they have to worry about the quarterback position right now. Am I right?
But what's funny about the Patriots is they haven't had to worry about the quarterback position, and they've produced more starting quarterbacks still in that span than a lot of teams. Like, yeah. I don't want to give them credit for, like, Matt Castle necessarily, but, like, Castle went on to Kansas City.
Castle?
And won, what, 10, 11 games one time?
He's a Pro Bowler.
Right. And then you had Brissett, who has been a starting quarterback, and you've had Garoppolo, who's been a starting quarterback, and maybe even,
Ryan Mallett's been a starting quarterback.
Right. So it's funny that this is the team that hasn't.
The Bills?
This is a team that hasn't tried to draft starting quarterbacks and has produced more starting quarterbacks than most teams in that span.
That sort of though makes me confident in the idea that A, Bill Belichick could believe in Jared Stidham and be correct in his belief in Jared Stidham, and B, that Bill Belichick could see a Jacob Eason or a Jordan Love or one of these quarterbacks, who could potentially be a fit for them in the late first, early second round. By the way, maybe don't take Sony Michel over Lamar Jackson next time.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of teams passed on Lamar Jackson for whatever reason. They were all wrong.
I mean, we thought the Saints might trade up to grab Lamar Jackson. They moved up to grab Marcus Davenport. And when the Patriots were on the clock, it was like, oh my God, are they going to do this? And, like, sit Lamar Jackson for 2 years behind Tom Brady. And I mean, imagine if they were there. They were about to, like, we didn't even know what Lamar Jackson did last year, and he's about to unleash on it. Recently, the Patriots have drafted N'Keal Harry, Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn, Malcolm Brown, and Dominique Easley as first round picks. It's hard to judge the Patriots too harshly for their first round picks because, one, they trade out of the first round a lot, and two, you're picking 30-32 most every year.
I would argue that the Steelers draft late as well in the first round. They crushed the first round. I mean, that's not crushing the first round. That's like a C-minus first round.
The last few years, yeah. That's fair.
The names you read off.
I mean,
you can go lower than C-minus, I think.
I was doing the Wilson grading. The Sean grading is much tougher.
Especially like we do this with the Jags. It's like they should not have been taking Fournette in the first round no matter what, because that's just not good value. But if they were going to take a running back, they should have took Christian McCaffrey. You can do the same thing with the Patriots and Sony Michel. They should not be taking a running back in the first round. But if they were going to take a running back, don't take Michel. Take Nick Chubb. He was sitting there.
Yeah. I mean, they've had three first-round picks since 2016. And, like, look, they got a guy like Landon Roberts cheap. They got Ted Karras cheap. Jacoby Brissett, Joe Tooney, this is the 2016 draft. They only had four picks in 2017. One of those was a gate of some sort, I think, that cost them a pick. They had two first in 2018. 2018 was a bad draft for them. And then last year, they grabbed Stidham in the fourth round, so there's upside there. They still got, like, Chase Vinovich. They do a good job drafting. It's just they don't always hit on those first round picks.
Yeah, that's fine. I like Chase Vinovich. I think he flashed last year, but I think he could be pretty good.
I also don't tend to get too caught up in, like, how Bill Belichick's guys are going to perform as rookies. Like, I don't think you have a lot of guys who come in to make an impact. I mean, the N'Keal Harry thing is a dagger, though, because, when you look at the 2019 draft, I mean, it was, let's see, who was taken right? Like, I mean, Rakia Sin, Debo. I mean, like, why didn't they take Debo Samuel? I feel like my first mock draft, I had them taking Debo Samuel. It's like, he's a perfect Patriots player. And then they go N'Keal Harry at 32, and Debo goes at 36.
Was A.J. Brown available?
Yes.
Was he a second round pick? Yeah.
Miles Sanders, too. Not that they need a running back, but. You know.
I mean, even like Hardman was there, who like, yes, I know his value is boosted by being in Andy Reid's system, but you'd rather have him at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't get like, again, first round, for a long time, it took early drafted wide receivers a while to get going. Like, N'Keal Harry could come on and have a big year this year. I think they're probably going to run the ball and play a bunch of defense and let Stephen be.
N'Keal Harry's big issue is separation. If he couldn't get open with Tom Brady throwing the ball, he ain't getting open with Jared Stidham throwing the ball. So I don't know if he's going to magically improve. But maybe Andy Dalton, if he's there, maybe that helps. And I suspect he'll improve from year one to year two. But a lot of people were surprised that Harry went there at the end of the first.
The San Francisco 49ers, another interesting team to focus on. As we mentioned, they drafted Deebo Samuel last year. They've been pretty good. Have they been good at drafting? I think so.
I think with John Lynch, they've done much better in recent years. They did well when, what was the guy's name that went on to be the Redskins GM that they ran out of town? He was good at drafting.
Scott McLuhan.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like he did a pretty good job. And then they hit some rough patches, maybe with Trent Baalke and John Harbaugh. Although they got Colin Kaepernick.
I just mean with John Lynch.
I think John Lynch has done a pretty good job.
Lynch got hired, 2018, right?
No.
17.
Solomon Thomas is his first draft.
Well, they got Kittle in the fifth round. Like, we have to.
Well, Sean, do you remember when they traded down from number 2 to number 3 and got Solomon Thomas and the Bears took Mitchell Trubisky?
Ooh.
I do remember. And
that was his first draft.
Thank you for that. It is, like, Kittle. Okay, all right.
You know what? I'm just going to go and tell you. They've been good at drafting. Because. Oh. But
Warner.
The knock was that Solomon Thomas hadn't produced, and then like Reuben Foster was a disaster because of his off-field stuff. But CJ Beathard was, you know, at least a competent guy who like filled in as a third round pick. Kittle as a fifth round pick is like saves a draft. Adrian Colbert played well for them, although he's moved on. Fred Warner in the third round, as you mentioned. I mean, that's a steal. Mike McGlinchey. A nice pickup as a first round pick in 2018. Dante Pettis, second round pick, probably hadn't lived up to that, but Deebo Samuel makes up for it with his play last year. And then, you know, they got some performance guys. Yeah.
DJ Jones in the sixth round is tremendous value. He's not a superstar, but I mean, he plays a lot. A good player, but getting him in the sixth round, like a starter like that, that's incredible value.
Yeah. They've done a good job. And I think what that speaks to, and I mean, look, Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel, again, it doesn't matter what else you do in that draft. If you come away with Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel at the top of the draft, you have slam dunked the draft. So I think I'll be interested to see. We know that they don't have a lot of picks. They have 13, 31, and then their next pick. Remember, they got 13 because of the DeForest Buckner the trade that they made with the Colts. 13, 31, and then 156, 176, 210, 217, and 245. To me, this is a clear-cut case of a team that is going to trade down on, if not once, maybe twice, and maybe three times on Thursday in a week from today in the first round of the draft. Like, you could trade down, you could call the Cowboys if they want to move up and get CJ Henderson, trade down from 13 to 17, then trade down from 17 again, and then trade out of the first round from 31 and pile up a bunch of picks. I don't think that would be surprising at all.
If Jordan Love gets by the Raiders at 12, there may be a bidding war for the 13th pick if some team wants to take Jordan Love there. If you stay put, and I think you're right, I think the ideal situation is to trade down a few times and get a bunch of picks in the first 100 picks or whatever. But if you stay at 13, I would have Henry Ruggs' name circled because Henry Ruggs and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, that makes life incredibly difficult for the Seattle Seahawks to try to win the division. I think the Rams, I think we all agree, are probably aren't in the mix. The Cardinals will be more fun to watch, but Henry Ruggs, man, better than Manny Sanders, who's now gone. Yeah. They have what's his name that was on Shanahan's crap list for a while there. Who's the receiver that kept dropping passes? Kendrick Bourne, I think his name was.
Yeah.
So Henry Ruggs and Deebo feel like just a match made in heaven.
I don't think they have a good corner maybe at their first pick, but if they don't trade back, and Ryan, I'm looking because it's funny, you actually have them taking a corner. I was going to say, even though their secondary right now is good, you've got a lot of older players you know, players who are getting a year older, Ryan, like Richard Sherman, who is on the final year of his deal. So, it wouldn't surprise me if Sherman comes back, if he takes a little bit less to come back to San Francisco. But I think corner is also a need, maybe not right now, but to start planning for the next couple years.
That Ruggs thing is an interesting point. So, like, on the mock draft show this last week, not this, the one 2 weeks ago, not the one that we just saw on Monday that we did for CBS Sports, but the previous one, I had the 49ers, and I ended up trading out of 13 and traded out of 31. The running gag was I didn't want to work, but in reality, I was just trying to accumulate picks. It was tough, though. At 13, I traded with the Eagles and Jonathan Jones, who came up as their GM, and he came up and took CeeDee Lamb. And I love CeeDee Lamb, and I really kind of wanted to stand pat at 13. So I think it will be a situation where San Francisco has a short list of guys they're willing to take at 13 and not trade back from. And then, as Ryan points out, if Jordan Love gets past the Raiders at 12 and they're sitting there, and maybe it's the Saints, maybe it's the Patriots, you know, maybe it's the Eagles who want to come up and take a wide receiver, you do have the opportunity to probably trade back and get a second round pick or a third round pick, a high third, something like that. So, to me, it's kind of the catbird seat and a really interesting spot there in the draft. Or maybe you're a team, like the Vikings, and you have two first round picks and you want an offensive lineman, and you know the Buccaneers are probably going to take one. Like, you know, that 13th spot is a critical juncture in the draft, I think.
Yeah, the Vikings would be stupid to trade any draft picks at this point to move up. Just because so many needs. But that 13th spot is prime for offensive tackle. If you love C.J. Henderson, for example, cornerback, we talked about quarterback Jordan Love.
Well, like, what about like, the, let's say the Dolphins are there at 18 and they really want an offensive tackle and there's only one left and they know the Buccaneers are going to take him at 14.
Yep.
You could give up, let's say you give up 18 and 56 for 13. Like, wouldn't the 49ers do that?
856 is pretty rich. I think what's their next pick? You might be able to do 18 and 70. Is 70 the third round pick?
70 is the third round, yeah. So the Dolphins have 39, 56, and 70. Yeah.
56 will be rich. You jump on that if you're the 49ers, if you don't care.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, like, but maybe you have, like, the Patriots calling and willing to offer you a late third round pick, and you tell the Dolphins, hey, look, we won't do it for less than 56, and they panic and move up. I mean, you could really, it's going to be really interesting to see if they're willing to sacrifice a potentially great player there, in order to move down and get extra picks.
No, I agree with that.
What would your cutoff be for guys you would want to take there?
What do you mean? How far would I be willing to move down in the first round?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Sean pointed out that I had them taking Trevon Diggs at 31. You can find someone at 30, 32, 31 and 32 if you keep trading down or just moving to the second round. It depends. Now, if you want a wide receiver, you want CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, or Henry Ruggs, you can't get much lower than 15. So 13 might be, they might see what happens. And look, man, all three of those receivers could be available at 13 if the Jets take an offensive tackle at 11. So, and the Raiders take Jordan Love or whatever. So they could choose to move down even with those guys on the board, knowing that they'll get one of them later. So you can move out of the first round if you want to, depending on what you're looking at, unless you're dying to get an offensive tackle. They're not going to be in the quarterback business, I don't think. So, yeah, keep trading down until you hit that sweet spot. They could be down in the 40s and get two really good guys if they wanted.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you end up with a bunch of picks in the second and third round. All right, anything else to add on the 49ers, guys?
No.
Good, Sean. Good stuff. Just kidding. By the way, Sean, RJ White, we already touched on it. After the break, Bryant McFadden's top defensive back prospects.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
All right, joining us now is promised to break down the defensive backs, which will, by the way, conclude our ranking of prospects, top 10 prospects. Heck of a job by us to actually get it done. Thank you, Debo, for organizing it and keeping me in line. But now joining us for the defensive backs, the defensive back of CBS Sports himself, Brian McFadden. B-Mac, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing great. It is Thursday, April 16th.
Yes, sir.
I feel like every day in quarantine or in Corona world, it feels like a Thursday.
I mean, you know what? One thing I can say about this, that this ordeal that we're going through, it seems like the days are going by fast, right?
Depends on,
I know for me,
whether you can go outside with your kids or not, I guess.
Like, yeah, well, I occasionally go outside and get me a backyard workout like I'm in high school all over again, or walk around the neighborhood. But I mean, when Monday, it felt like Monday was just here.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, I'll give you that. The weeks are kind of moving by quickly. It doesn't feel like they drag on. We get to the weekends quick, and we got the draft coming up. So that's a little bit of excitement, and excited to break down some prospects with you, some defensive backs. Number 10, well, your top 10, number 10. This is a guy you mentioned on the Pick Six show on CBS Sports HQ, 4 to 5 Eastern every single weekday, up through the draft and beyond, I'm told. Ashton Davis out of Cal. What do you like about this kid's game?
I like how rangy he is. It's very, very important when you have nice range from the safety position, because the example I like to use when referencing a safety, you're the ultimate traffic cop. It's your job to really control everything that's in front of you. And he has shown that ability there at Cal. And then he's a playmaker. He's a guy that can really get his hands on a lot of footballs when it comes to PBUs or interceptions. And I like the versatility that he's displayed playing at Cal, being able to cover the slot wide receivers. And I think that is huge looking at the NFL and some of the offenses that he will see on Sundays. He's an experienced guy. He really benefited from playing all 4 years there at Cal. So I like what he brings to the table along with the versatility. He reminds me a lot of Jimmy Ward, the safety from San Francisco.
Nice comp. And this is this defensive back class, if you're combining the safeties and the cornerbacks, and even excluding Isaiah Simmons, who to me is a linebacker, it's a really good class, I think.
Yeah, it started to become a better class than what we saw initially. Mm. I think we really saw a lot from this class at the combine. A lot of these big name players went to the combine and showed out. And then when you compare that to what they've done from their film, you really like this class more than what you've done, than what you did, I think, before the combine.
I don't know if you've thought about this entirely, but like, do you think is Ashton Davis a day two guy or a day three guy?
I think he should be a day two guy. I don't see Ashton, making it to the third round. I think he potentially could be a second round selection.
Oh, wow. So people know, like, we're starting off. This is the 10th guy and we're already talking, a day two, likely day two guy, potentially second round. That's pretty good for that class, because you look at some of the other positions and it's like, your back end guys are definitely going to be day three guys. Jalen Johnson out of Utah, your number nine guy.
I love Jalen Johnson. This is another kid, I talked about on the Pick Six show, just talked about how smart he is. I think his above the shoulder game is one of the more, he has one of the more impressive above the shoulder games when you look at all the prospects available when it comes to defensive backs. He's a very, very savvy guy, and his ability to put what he see on film and transition that to the field is very, very impressive. Go back and watch the Washington game against Jacob Eason, a guy who will be drafted at some point in this upcoming NFL draft, and look at the game that Jalen put out. I mean, he was balling. And you can tell he really studied film, because he was able to put himself in positions before the ball was even in play. I mean, he knew exactly what was coming from some of these wide receivers. And because of that, he had an outstanding game. But I love Jalen Johnson because of what he provides for with his athleticism, but also Will. He's very, very smart.
Interesting. And so you think this is another guy day two? I mean, like, I don't think he's going to creep into the first round or anything, right?
I mean, you know, having a conversation with Ryan on the show the other day, Ryan said that some people believe he could slip in the back end of the first round. Yes, yes. Well, a lot of teams like him, especially the Raiders. I heard the Raiders really like him.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, I've talked about this a couple of times, but I think it's important in the context of this defensive backs. But like Pete Prisco has pointed out that there's probably 25 guys who are locks for the first round. I mean, that leaves, you know, 7 picks. That's a lot of wiggle room for teams to either trade out of the first round to, you know, teams can come back into the first round if they really like somebody. Or, you know, you talk about a team that's down there like the Patriots, the Ravens, the Saints, you know, teams that might be interested in drafting a cornerback. If we see a couple of cornerbacks go early, the top end guys, we'll get to them. You know, a guy like Jalen Johnson could come flying into the first round.
And no, and not to mention, there are a lot of teams that have multiple first round picks. So, you know, some teams, you look at San Francisco, Minnesota, Jacksonville. I believe those are teams that will get a cornerback or defensive back at some point in time, which will allow other defensive backs to maybe slip up to be in the back end of the first round or early in the second round.
I couldn't agree with you more. Okay, let's get to your number 8 guy out of Clemson. Had some decent success with pros in recent years. A.J. Terrell. I don't know, words like I'm always like Terrell.
I mean, either or, but I've heard Terrell more than anything, but
no, it's definitely Terrell. I mean, I just said it like a redneck. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. What do you think about his game and why do you have him, slid up here at number 8?
And I like his overall game. Yeah, Georgia guy. I like his overall game. I think his strong point, his press technique, his press coverage is really, really good. He's a guy that has really improved every year there at Clemson. As a true freshman, he got some playing time and eventually became a starter. And every year he got better. Very, very lengthy. He has nice size, around 6'1". I think he ran 4.4 at the combine. You know, the only knock about AJ is that the first big test, right, piece of adversity we saw from AJ was against LSU. And he had it was a tough night for him against LSU. And I think you could say that for almost every secondary mate that played against Joe Burrow and the LSU wide receivers. But I expected to see a lot more from AJ when you look at some of the receivers he was going against, pro-like receivers. But all in all, you know, talented player. I think he will potentially have an opportunity to get drafted in the first round at some point in time.
Okay. But I would, like you said, I mean, it just depends on what these teams like and who's down there. You know, like the 49ers are a team that we know probably needs a cornerback or probably wants a cornerback at some point. You know, if they get a guy like a CJ Henderson with their first pick, maybe they're not going to take one at 31, we would assume. They're also a team that could trade back. So like it really depends on what the Chiefs could be a team that could take a cornerback as well, but maybe they trade back. Although these guys are sitting there, maybe they want that fifth year option. Number 7, safety out of LSU. You mentioned that title game, Grant Delpit. This guy is a thumper.
No question. He's a big time player. Very, very athletic. He had his virtual pro day a few days ago. I think he ran high 4.3, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, what would you run at your virtual pro day?
Oh, man. Listen, Will, if I had a virtual pro day and I don't run 4.3, something is wrong.
I ran a 4.19 at my virtual pro day.
Yo, I have the wrong people hanging around me, and I have the wrong trainer training me if I don't run 4.3 at my virtual pro day. But yeah, I like Grant. Athletic, very, very athletic. He's around 6'2", 6'3", around 200 pounds. I think one area he needs to improve on with his game is tackling. And I think he will get better at tackling, but he's an all-around playmaker. He's a rangy guy, can be in the box, can be in the post. He did a lot for LSU throughout his time there. And who knows where he potentially could go. I thought he had a legit first-round grade, but now seeing some of the mocks, I know Ryan Wilson had him going in the second round. I don't know exactly, will his virtual pro day automatically jump him into the first round for sure? He won the Thorpe Award last year, so he has the accolades to go along with what he did when you look at his numbers. But he's an all-around good player. There's not a lot to not like about Grant when you watch him play.
Yeah, very physical player. It, you know, it feels like 5 or 10 years ago too, almost a, like a near lock to go in the first round because of how, like how aggressive he is against the run and like how he can kind of jump into the box. Maybe now he falls a little bit more just because of, you know, the different style of plays. But I think you're right. Absolutely a day two guy. Jeff Gladney out of TCU, is checks in at number six for you.
Yeah, man, listen, Jeff Gladney listed in around 5'10", 190, 195, or 194, but he plays bigger than his measurables.
5'10", 191, according
to 191, yeah. He plays bigger than his measurables. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's an angry football player. And I like that, especially if you're a bit undersized based on what is surrounding you when you look at pass catchers. And he reminds me a lot of Denzel Ward, a talented young corner from Cleveland. He's not as fast. Yeah. You know, Denzel Ward ran a nice blazing 40 time, but Denzel plays bigger than what he is. He tackles pretty well.
Like, I've interviewed Denzel Ward a couple times, and like I met him in person. I was like, this guy's like my size. Like he's like, he's like just wiry and but then you see him play and you're like, this guy's like mauling. I mean, not mauling guys, but just like he's doing like he's more physical than you would expect.
Yeah, and that's who Jeff Gladney is. He really plays some real good football in the Big 12. His last two seasons, he had almost 30 PBU. So he's always around the football. He's ball aware. And he's a guy that he loves to get in a fight. I like that. And I'm talking about a football fight. He's not backing down from a challenge. And he's another name to monitor listeners as a guy that could slip into the first round as well.
Wow. This is sort of like, where would you have, when we talk about these cornerbacks too specifically, don't feel like you need to lump the safeties in, but like, do you think, where does the drop off for you happen? I think probably the top two guys, everybody has the same. We'll get to them in a minute, but then like, you know, is Gladney, AJ Terrell and like Jalen Johnson sort of all in the same tier?
It's a traffic jam with those type players. Jalen Johnson, Terrell, Gladney, of course, Fulton, Diggs, some other guys. It's a traffic jam.
Okay.
Of players with similar skill sets.
So it's sort of like the wide receivers where we have Lamb, Judy, and Ruggs, and then you have a big group of guys after that who, depending on what your preference is for style of play. Okay, interesting. Yep. All right. And you mentioned Christian Fulton. He checks in as your number five guy, another LSU. Is LSU, do they claim to be DBU?
Yeah, that's what they claim. You know, I did an Instagram live with Patrick Peterson a few weeks ago, and of course he threw that out to me, they're DBU. And honestly, they've been putting a lot of defensive backs out.
They've had a good run. It's hard to
having a nice run.
I know. But they didn't have Deion. They didn't have B-Mac. Get out of here.
And then Terrell Buckley, Leroy Butler. I mean, they didn't have, you know, Samari Rose. So, you know, we got thick tradition down in Tallahassee. Thick.
Tell me about what do you like about old Christian Fulton here?
Christian Fulton, man, he's a savvy guy. You can tell his experience really is on display when you look at him play the game of football. I like what he does in zone concepts, being able to recognize certain route recognitions and jump the routes to be in position to make plays. And then I also can see Christian potentially moving inside to the slot to be an ideal slot corner for an NFL organization. But a hezzy guy, he was coached real well there at Baton Rouge with LSU. We talked about Grant Delpit, and Christian clearly command that secondary well. He's another guy that has a first round grade. I mean, it's almost like every player that we're mentioning, especially when you look at the corners, all potentially could go in the first round.
Yeah. Trayvon Diggs, a guy that is also mentioned as a possible first rounder, checks in. I mean, I don't know what that, like, we could end up seeing the back half of the first round be like all wide receivers and defensive backs, or it's possible the teams think that there's so much depth there that the entire first half of the second round is just cornerbacks and wide receivers flying off the board.
No doubt, Will. Trayvon Diggs is a very, very intriguing prospect. Yeah, he's around 6'1", 6'2", over 200 pounds. But people don't know about Trayvon. He went to Alabama as a wide receiver. He made the transition to corner there at Alabama. So he's still a bit raw. But the thing I love about Trayvon, ball skills. You can tell he's a former wide receiver, the way he attacks the football, the way he brings in interceptions, and he's very, very athletic. I think the best is yet to come from Trayvon, especially when he gets around NFL talent, NFL coaching, and you pair that up with 6'2", 200, great ball skills. Man, he has an extremely high ceiling.
Yeah. Another guy from that same program, Xavier McKinney, checking in as your number three prospect and number one overall safety. Spoiler, two cornerbacks left.
Yeah, two cornerbacks left, but my top three, my third guy is a safety.
You talked to him on Instagram Live as well. We said that on the Pick Six Podcast show.
Great kid, man. Great kid. I don't know him, you know, personally outside of the conversation I had with him on Instagram Live, but I fell in love with who he is as a football player. You can tell he loves the game of football. And then when you watch him play, you see that same love running around sideline to sideline, looking at the many different ways they used him in the secondary as a box safety, as a free safety, as a slot corner. And he's very, very smart. And I'm not surprised. You know, that's what I would expect from a guy who plays in the secondary under Nick Saban. You should learn a lot, but he has learned a lot. And he just loves going about his business and playing the game of football. Xavier is a guy, I think, when you see him on my list, he could be the third defensive back to come off the board in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen.
There's been like some buzz or at least like chatter, maybe mock draft movement that doesn't even really matter that he can fall into the second round or that he might not be a first rounder. I mean, you think this guy is a lock for like someone like the Patriots or Eagles in that first round, right?
The only thing that could hurt Xavier McKinney's draft stock in the first round, team needs, right? You know what I mean? Some teams may need other positions more than a secondary guy, and that could hurt not just McKinney's, but a lot of the other players we just mentioned. You mean, you know, you got a lot of teams that may need quarterbacks. You know, the Eagles, they definitely need to address the wide receiver position along with secondary guys. But the most important thing for the Philly is wide receivers. So you got a lot of teams that need other positions, so that could affect some of the draft stocks for some of these players. But me personally, he's a first round talent. He has a first round grade in my opinion, and he should go in the first round.
And like the thing that you meant with Nick Saban is huge too. Like, I mean, you see these guys come out, even guys who weren't good, like, and I'm not saying this about Xavier McKinney at all. Like you point out, he's a really great kid, but like Reuben Foster was not a good guy off the field. But he's a genius, a savant on the field in terms of diagnosing film and looking at stuff. And you see that a lot from these Nick Saban guys because they work like Nick, especially the defensive backs that Nick Saban works so closely with. I mean, that's a big plus if you're a team that needs somebody to make an instant impact, right?
No question. You already got a guy who was ahead of the curve compared to other guys. And now you can kind of put him in and allow him to do what he does best because he understands what you're talking about. He understands what he's supposed to do. And a lot of collegiate players don't have that. You know, most guys that come from Alabama, especially playing on the defensive side, they have that.
All right. Number two on the list, also in the SEC, C.J. Henderson out of Florida. I know you've fallen in love with this guy. I've pushed him up close to the to Jeffrey Okuda, who's the number one spoiler. And also worth noting that you might not be the only one who's fallen in love. There's a lot of buzz and speculation that the Falcons might be trying to make a move up with C.J. Henderson as their possible target. And by the way, they actually, if you go back, I think Thomas Dimitroff was on the Move the Sticks. No, not Move the Sticks. Excuse me. Stick to Football podcast with Matt Miller over at Bleacher Report and at the Senior Bowl and told them, he's like, we're at 16 for now. In other words, like he's planning to move up and there is chatter that C.J. Henderson is his target.
Yeah, I like C.J. Henderson. I don't like that he played at Florida, but I like who he is as a football player. He's a very, very smooth cornerback. He's savvy. You can tell he's been playing cornerback for quite some time. He seems to be a natural at the position. C.J. is the best cover corner in the draft. I would love to see him become more aggressive in tackling, especially playing against the big wide receivers he will see on Sundays. But when it comes to covering, press technique or off technique, he has it. And he has a lot of room to grow and become better. But I love his game. I think he is really going to be a nice professional player.
All right. And how close is – and do you have it as a drop-off just from the cornerbacks, Okuda – and C.J. Henderson, and then there's like another – that's a drop-off, right?
Yeah, that's a drop-off. But to answer your question, C.J., in my opinion, is very, very close to Okuda.
Yeah. So
very
like,
close.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So like, is there any chance he could be taken over Okuda?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think, you know, the scenario you just provided for us as a potential that could happen would be C.J. going higher than what we expect, which would be in the mid-teens.
Yeah, or know, even so, top 10. I mean, there's been like – That the Jaguars really like him and could make a move for him. What's the lowest you think Okuda could go? I mean, The Lions is just too obvious, right?
It is, but what happens if there are a few trades like we've had in our mock drafts, right? Yep. And the Lions trade back maybe at eight or nine or something like that. Then, you know, because the teams who trade up in the top 10 will, you might as well expect for them to select a quarterback, right? In my opinion. You know what I mean? So if that was to happen, that could be the only way Okuda could get knocked down in the draft. But I think Okuda is definitely a top five selection, top six selection for sure. And like you said, he's been linked with the Detroit Lions the entire draft process.
It's almost too easy. It's like too obvious, right?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, anything can happen, starting with the Washington Redskins, right? I think that is where – that is when the fun will begin with Washington, either with – because of the player they select or if they decide to move out of number two. And then the same thing could be said for the Detroit Lions currently at number three.
Yep. Do you remember – do you remember the lead up to your, and like the discussion, was it like when you got drafted, was it, obviously it's not the same as it is now in terms of the, like the level, like it feels like now, like you're like fans have a deeper level of draft knowledge going into the draft than usual. You had Pac-Man mm-hmm. Jones in your draft class.
Carlos Rogers.
I mean, do you remember the discussion and chatter? Cause I know you said you thought you should be a first round pick. You went in the second round. Do you remember like, what that was like leading into the draft?
It was cool. It was cool. It was very cool. I thought, you know, I potentially could slide into the back end of the first round and be getting drafted in the second. And all the names you mentioned, I kind of knew. I knew Pac-Man was going to be drafted high. He was going to get drafted high. I knew Rogers. And then after those three guys, it was like, okay, what's next? So for us, you know, the question you asked me, you know, where's the drop-off point in this draft class? You know, you got Okuda, you got Henderson, then you got a drop-off.
Yeah.
In my draft, the drop-off was after Rogers, Rowe, and Pac-Man.
Oh, gotcha. So it was sort of a similar setup in that there was like a group of guys, and it's like, all right, who's going to be the first one taken, mm-hmm. like, you know, after those, after or like you all knew that those three were going to be the first three guys off.
No doubt.
Then it's like, if they go early, all of a sudden you can creep into the first round or maybe, you know, go high second. And then who do we decide was the guy taken above you? I forgot his name now.
Oh man, it was quite a few.
Oh, were
they? Yeah, cause I was a 6th-second pick. So, in the second round, let me do this off the top of my head, best as possible. Corey Webster, Calvin Hayden, Fabian Washington was in the first.
Mm, yep.
Stanford Rout.
Yep.
Went to the Raiders. Nick Collins wasn't listed. Nick Collins was listed as a corner, but of course he played safety. He went to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That was all in the second round.
There were quite a few taken ahead. God, this is a deep cornerback draft class.
Yeah.
Marlon Jackson
was in the first rounds at the Colts.
Michigan. Yeah. You named a ton of them, though. Corey Webster ended up having a pretty good career. Ron Bartel.
Bartel to the Rams.
Yep. Darren Williams.
Darren Williams, who may he rest in peace, but Darren Williams could ball. Remember from Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
Four number 27 for Denver. Had a great rookie year for Denver, too.
Yeah, that's right, man. He was in the drive-by, right?
Yeah, in the drive-by. Had a great rookie year.
He was a good player. Mm-hmm. Justin Miller out of Clemson.
Out of Clemson to the Jets.
And then you mentioned Calvin Hayden, and then you. That's a ton of cornerbacks. This mm-hmm. is a similar class in that regard, then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a lot of depth. The depth in our class is similar to what they have right now with the wide receivers.
We
had a deep class when just the corners alone. So you didn't even mention any safeties. Just all corners.
I don't even know how many we ripped off here, but that's like 10 DBs take, like 10 or 15 DBs taken in the first like 65 picks.
All corners. The only one who eventually played safety was Nick Collins.
You're right. Yeah. Nick Collins. He's listed. I'm looking on Wikipedia because why not? Josh Bullock's safety.
Safety from Nebraska.
Yep. Brodney Poole.
Yep. From Oklahoma.
And there were no first round safeties taken.
No first round safeties at all.
God, that was the craziest draft year too. Cause it was, obviously, you know, Alex Smith went number one overall and then Rodgers plummeted down to 24.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be nuts too on draft night because you're sitting there and you're like, okay, like I thought I might go in the first round and Aaron Rodgers is on the board at 20. Like maybe you're like, crap, like this is not how, you know what I mean? Like if Rodgers is still sitting there, aren't you? You're like, well, I mean somebody's going to take the quarterback, right?
And remember, Aaron Rodgers was actually at the draft.
Oh, yeah. And he's got that little phone.
He's got
a little spiky haircut. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, the first round alone was a long draft.
Yeah. Was that one of the first years that they had – trying to think if that was one of the – no, they had done it in – it might have been the first year they – oh, no, it was at the Javits Convention Center in New York.
It was in New York. And they did the first and the second round the same night, all on Saturday.
Oh, they did.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't get drafted until that night.
Oh, my God. See, because people forget this, but, like, back in the day, they used to do it. Like, they used to start it at noon on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
yep.
It was like, and so, like, then you're, you know, I mean, so you were sitting there for, like, eight, like, would you rather sit there for the full first two rounds or have to deal with waiting overnight and, like, sleeping on it?
No, I don't want to sleep on it. No, you can't go to sleep. You're not going to get any sleep.
Yeah, like remember when 2013 when Geno Smith fell out of the first round? Like EJ Manuel went, and then Geno Smith fell, and it was like just for 12 straight hours, there was nothing but Geno Smith talk. That would be brutal. Like Frank Gore was the first pick for you guys the following Sunday too. That's kind of
yeah. I wouldn't want to sleep on it though, Will. No.
I guess I don't think 62 is like a good spot to be. I don't think about it in that timeline of like you sat there for almost the entire first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. So for me, I didn't start to really get a bit antsy until towards the end of the first round.
Right.
Right. So
you knew that, you weren't going to be a top 15.
Yeah. Pick. Yeah. I knew realistically speaking. No, I'm not. I'm like, man, like, probably best case scenario for me, I go in the back end in the first round. But what was crazy was that. The Falcons, I had a phone call on Friday with the Atlanta Falcons with the GM and the owner. And they were talking to me, going over some final preparation for the draft, which was the next day on Saturday. And they were like, you know what? You know, we need a corner.
Was that Rich McKay then?
I think it was Rich McKay. And they were like, you know, they just took D Hall the year before. They're looking for a guy to pair up with D Hall.
Yeah.
You know, your ACC guy, we think you do wonderful here in for our organization. So, you know, we're in the back end of the first round. So there's a good chance, you know, we might come get you. So I'm like, yo, I'm ready.
That's messed up, man.
So I'm like,
don't tell me that.
You know, so I'm like, okay, they already got the Michael Vick experience. You know, to be Tallahassee, Atlanta's not far. You know, of course, I got a nice base there.
Yeah.
And then in the first round, that was when I started to get excited. Cause we just had this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what's up? Then they ended up taking Roddy White with their selection. So they took Roddy White with their selection, and I had already knew the Steelers were loving me, right? I knew the Steelers were loving me. I had a few of my old Florida State teammates there, and they were already filling me in. Like, man, the coaches keep asking about you. Mm. They like how you play the game, like how physical you are. But what hurt me with Pittsburgh and not going in the first round is that Heath Miller didn't do anything for the draft. He tore his groin. He had groin surgery. So he didn't do anything. Pro day, combine. He just basically got drafted on his collegiate film, which was great.
Yeah.
But if Heath probably would have been healthier, there's a good chance Heath would have got drafted earlier.
Heath doesn't go at – so the Steelers – and also, like, remember, like, again, like, Aaron Rodgers dropped because of – like, these teams were just kind of – they weren't doing weird stuff, but, like – like, I mean, remember, like, the Jaguars took freaking Matt Jones, like a tall, wide receiver out of Arkansas. I mean, like,
ran a fast 40, ran 4.3.
Yeah. I mean, it was like people were doing kind of crazy stuff in the middle of the first round. That's what led to Rodgers falling. Then somebody like Miller falls.
Heath was supposed to be at least a pick in the teens, but because, you know, the injury standpoint, he's there for Pittsburgh, and they go select him. And then later on, I found out that I could have potentially gone in that spot.
Wow.
If Heath was gone, and they ended up coming back to get me in the second round. It was a lot of crazy things that happened.
But you know, it's just like you're talking about with this draft. Like, that's just what happens in the draft. The Steelers are like, we need a tight end. We need a weapon. It's a really deep cornerback class. We think there's a good chance we can get McFadden with our second round pick. Let's gamble on it. I mean, that's just what the draft is.
That's exactly. That's how it happens. And it's stressful for players, but entertaining for fans.
Right.
You know
absolutely.
What I mean? Because so for me, you know, I'm a young kid. I just had a call with Atlanta. So now I'm thinking about, wow, Atlanta. And then guess what, Will?
They were up at 59. Round, they passed you twice.
They took don't tell me the name. They took the defensive lineman.
Yep.
Not Claiborne. What was his name? Played a long time for the Falcons. Yeah. Defensive tackle.
Yep. On the tip of your tongue.
You played Babineau.
Yes, you got it. Jonathan Babineau. Nice job.
Listen, I remember every name.
I bet that you do.
Went a place that I thought I was going.
Yeah. I'm sure you do. And all the, I mean, again, there are like 12 defensive backs, but you reeled off most of them pretty fast too. Cause it's like, or cornerbacks, like, you, I mean, you're obviously watching. You're like, no way, I'm better than that guy. No way. I'm better. You know, I mean, like that's going through your mind, right?
And a lot of these players in the secondary I played with at the Senior Bowl, our Senior Bowl was loaded with talent.
Wow.
Is, you know, Corey, myself, Corey Webster, Travis Daniels, Fuller from, Virginia Tech, Junior Rose Green, Carlos Rogers. We were all on the Senior Bowl at the Senior Bowl together and we all were on the same team.
One of the all-time great Senior Bowls. Would you, what, I mean, would you have been freaking the bleep out if you hadn't gone at like, at 62 and you're, and like you had to sleep overnight after?
I had to pass out. I was already so hot. I was so mad. Carolina really did me wrong though. Check this out. True story. Carolina. And I think if you still have the draft, slots up, Will, Carolina was maybe a few, they was in the 50s.
54.
So Carolina. They were up to select. I'm literally watching the draft in my bedroom at this time because we had a house gathering. I just kind of got – I separated myself from everybody.
In the middle of the second round, you're like, I'm going to go upstairs and sit
here. Yes, yes, yes. So I'm in my bedroom in South Florida, Hollywood, Florida. Shout out to Hollywood. And Carolina is up, 54 selection. I get a private phone call to my cell.
What?
Right? No, it wasn't to my – I didn't have a cell phone at the time. I did have a cell phone. I'm sorry. It's 2005. I had a cell phone.
Yeah.
I get a private. No question. I had a flip. I get a block number calling me. And I remember my agent told me, anytime you see a block number, please answer it. I answered it. It's the Carolina Panthers.
So they're like, was it Marty Herney or like John Fox or?
It was the GM. Yeah,
Marty Herney.
Yeah, or either the assistant to the GM, but he was like, is this, Brian McFadden? I said, yes, sir. This is he. He's like, all right. So, as you see, we're up on the clock. And we're thinking about, you know, going with you with our 54th selection. How would you like to play for the Carolina Panthers? At that time, I'm like, man, you can tell me you're the Alaska.
Play for the Martians. I don't care.
The Alaska Avengers if I had to. He's like, I'll be excited. And he said, okay, well, right now it's between you and another player. And we're trying to finalize and decide who we're going to go with. So I'm sitting here on the phone waiting. Good thing I didn't run out to the rest of my family and friends to tell them I'm getting ready to get selected, right? Dude comes back on the phone and says, sorry, Mr. McFadden, we're going to go with the, we're going the opposite direction. We're going with another guy.
Well, are you kidding me? He's like, why'd you bother calling me, bro? And, like, don't.
And just hung up. I didn't even say, I'm like, what? And so this is how much I remember about the draft. You had the draft right in front of you. The player they selected was Eric Shelton, running back from Louisville.
He was a really good player. In college, he didn't do anything in the pros.
E. Shelton was at Florida State with me. He ended up transferring from Florida State to Louisville.
Oh, yes.
I knew him. And no knock on E. Shelton. I was happy he got drafted. But for me, it was like, what? That's what we doing? So then when Pittsburgh called me, right? So you have the draft still in front of you, Will?
I do.
Okay, so Pittsburgh called me. And the team that was behind Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken, was San Diego. Am I correct about that?
You are absolutely. San Diego was in front. Yes. San Diego was in front of Pittsburgh.
Okay. San Diego was in front of Pittsburgh. And I think Philly was behind Pittsburgh.
That is correct.
Yeah. So what I did was when Pittsburgh called me, they were like, is this Mr. McFadden? I said, yes, it is. They're like, oh, this is such and such from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They asked me how the day was going. I'm like, man, it's been okay. You know what I mean?
Like, okay, it's the end of the second round. It ain't going that great.
So he hit me with, he said, has anybody contacted you? So I'm watching television. I saw the Chargers get ready to be up on the clock. And Philly, I said, yeah, matter of fact, the Chargers just called me and the Eagles just called me, right? I was like, yo, they're not going to get me again. My heart can't take anymore. So I kind of finessed the system. I said, yeah, the Chargers just called me and Philly just called me. He said, well, don't even worry about entertaining their calls. If you're available for us in 60-second pick, we're going to select you. I'm like, are you for real? He's like, yes, we're going to select you. Just give me a heads up. So they literally stayed on the phone with me the whole time And I didn't run out and tell nobody. It was a surprise to everybody in the house.
So your family is all watching it, and like
I'm still in the room. I'm still.
But I'm saying like it's it wouldn't have been Roger Goodell. Maybe it was Roger Goodell.
It was Paul.
Oh, Paul Tagliabue. Yeah, but Tagliabue said like Brian McFadden, and everybody's like, oh, and, like,
yes, because I was afraid to go out and tell them because of what happened with me, Carolina.
Absolutely.
So I was just on the phone, like waiting, like. Y'all for real? Y'all about to draft me? Like, yes, we're gonna draft you. So that's when, okay. So the Chargers end up going to get Vincent Jackson, right?
Yeah.
From Colorado State. They took Vincent Jackson. And then
it was Northern Colorado, but yes.
Northern Colorado. So they took Vincent Jackson, and then here go. I'm on the phone and like, okay. And then BC Bill Kyle gets on the phone. You know, he's like, Brian, welcome to Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, I'm like, about time. You know what I mean? So I talked to the DP. I talked to the defensive back coach, Darren Perry, at that time, Kevin Colbert. And then everybody was going crazy. And I'm in the room. I finally come out. I was happy, but I was still mad.
Yeah.
I was mad because Carolina, I feel like Carolina tried me. They didn't have to call me until they knew for sure. And then where I got selected. But all in all, it was a good experience.
I mean, obviously it worked out great because you won two Super Bowls.
Yeah. And my high school coach, he was there at the time, Keith Franklin. And he was like, yo, man, he was excited. He was like, man, what's wrong? I'm like, man, I'm mad, man. I lost a lot of money. I thought I was going to get drafted high. He's like, man, listen, you go into a championship organization. Yep. You're going to an organization that will always be in playoff contention. That's important. So for me, well, I'm like, man, I don't hear. I'm not listening to what you're talking about. Man,
I don't want to try to win a Super Bowl. I want my cash in my pocket.
No question, man. I'm like, I want to be paid. He's like, you're going to get paid when you win. Everybody gets paid. And I'm like, man,
he's right about that, though.
Yeah. And then I was like, I thought I was going to Atlanta. I ended up going to Pittsburgh. It's cold. First thing I thought about Pittsburgh was Gotham City, Batman. It's always gloomy. I'm like, he's like, man, forget that, Mac. Don't worry. It's going to work out for you. Long story short, a few months later, man, we're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's right. You're playing the Super Bowl as a rookie. And like all the dudes at the back of the first round are like, man, I would give up all. Like you look at like whoever. Whoever got drafted, like Eric Shelton would give up whatever. I guess he didn't get drafted. You get my point there. The guys in the first round would give up that cash for those Super Bowl rings in a heartbeat. All right, B-Mac, we should have just done a separate podcast on the draft experience. I'm guessing Brady probably won't let us do one on his draft experience. I'm kidding. We'll find out if Brady listens. B-Mac, follow him at B-Mac_SportsTalk. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Follow him on Twitter there. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. He'll be on the Pick 6 podcast show with us frequently. Always fun, buddy.
No question. Thank you.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.